Amen. Thank you, Kathy, Darlene, Chris, and Derek. Amen. Just ready? Well, I started out the month of June in a celebration type sermon to say this is the month of celebration, and my belt holes are telling me that I've done a lot of celebrating. I've been at a lot of graduation dinners and celebration dinners, and then just Father's Day. Thank you guys for fattening us up, you know. Was that last week already?
Yeah.
And then I went home and enjoyed even more. So, but today, this love feast is dedicated to those who have graduated or went on to a different grade, climbing that ladder of life, or those who have received any kind of real estate license or any kind of certification. So, what's next? What is next, you know, especially for those who graduated? I know we have two, Aiden and Juliana. So, amen. And I think, is there a friend here today as well? One of your friends, Juliana or Michelle? Another graduate? Okay, congratulations to you too. That's a big deal, you know, graduating from high school. It makes some of us, and if you will, suffer with me a little bit as an old guy. I graduated a long time ago, but I still remember the night with that gown and the flat cap. You know, I'd seen my friends before and couldn't wait to get that. And then finally, me and my buddies were in the teacher's lounge getting our. We were able to get in there. For some reason, our principal said, "I want you guys to put your gowns on in the teacher's lounge." And I knew why later, because back in the 70s, you had a hair code. You could not have any facial hair in the 70s, because that reflected a spirit of rebellion in our youth. So for 2 weeks, I didn't go to school. A lot of my buddies, we didn't. You know, you didn't have to. So I could grow facial hair pretty quick, and so could my friends. And he came in, and we're putting our gowns on. He said, "You might as well take those off." I said, "What?" And he had shaving cream and four razors for me, Ralph Trujillo, Rudy Velasquez, actually five razors, Glenn Prater too, and Eugene Lopez, and I can't remember the fourth one. But anyway, he had five razors, and he said, "If you're going to wear those on this high school stage and get your diplomas in front of all your loved ones, you have to shave. We have a strict haircut." I said, "You're kidding me." And, of course, put up a little fight. He said, "Okay, all right." And he took it. I said, no, wait. And, of course, we were in there. We shaved, and we were clean shaven. So that's my memory of that night. And then, I'm not resentful, but Mr. Gutierrez was my padrino, my sponsor for my confirmation. So anyway, my grandparents, when I went out there, I looked, and they had big smiles on their faces, like they said, "Yeah, I knew you were going to shave." But anyway, I don't know what your experience is like, because I saw in some of these, I saw young men with full beards. I said, "Oh my gosh, how the times have changed. You're ancient." Ceremony. We meant ceremony. Let's bow and pray, and then we're going to share two things about ceremony. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here to celebrate your son, who in a sense graduated to the right hand of your throne of glory and is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all authority over all the planet, all the universe. We're grateful, Father, that he has brought us by his grace into his footsteps. And Father, we're grateful for those that have graduated and going on to what is next. For those who know what is next, they're still in school, but they're climbing that ladder. Heavenly Father, for those who have received any kind of award that they've worked for and established, Father. So we're grateful for today. Father, we're grateful to come together. Just the smell of this food is incredible. We're grateful for the food that you give to us, and grateful for the hands that have prepared it, and you as the great provider through your generous bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we come together in your supper to remember the body and the blood of Jesus and all that he sacrificed so that we could come this morning to give you glory and honor and worship you and only you. Father, may your blessing be upon those young people who have graduated on and now are becoming independent adults. Father, may they make the right choices in life. May you bless them with that. And may they be very careful who they give their hearts and what they give their hearts to, God. May your Holy Spirit be upon them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what's next? Like I said, and I already prayed for the food, so it's already blessed. We can go right into that after the whole ceremony and stuff. But if you do want to get up here and offer a prayer, you can never give God enough thanks, right? So new beginnings. When school is finished, what begins next? You know, today we celebrate, as I said, the celebration, the fellowship of the Spirit in the communion with the Father and the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I looked at is one individual in the Bible, you know, because my wife could tell me, keep it to the point because we got a lot going on. So I have 2 points. Each reception of honor points to a crown, and the second one, ceremony, points to his glorious return. And I likened what a graduation ceremony is like. In 2 Peter chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Philippi, and he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said it's better. He said, I long for this life to end and to be with Christ. And I always, as a young man and now as an old man, I said, I want to live like that, because then nothing in this world can control me. To die, to live is Christ. In other words, as I get older, Christ becomes greater, I become less, and I enjoy life that much more. And to die is gain, to be with the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about. Well, he writes to his friend Timothy, his young student, telling him his time is coming short. And he lays out some great observations of wisdom here. He writes this to Timothy. He says, as for me, I'm already being poured out as the libation drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me also, but to any who have longed for his appearing. So here's Paul saying, I can't wait to get to that moment where I can get in the teacher's lounge and put that gown on and put that hat on and graduate to glory in the Lord. Because I've longed for this time, I've longed for it. And think about it, the feeling when you graduate from high school, or graduate from college. I think high school is bigger than college. College is kind of like, okay, what do I, you know, you're more adult-like, you're more independent. But when you're in high school, wow, I've been from kindergarten, you start remembering all the way, it's finally come. And there's that question, what do I do now? What's going on? What's happening? And then all of a sudden, the celebration. Aren't those great, the celebrations? I love sitting through the celebration. Some people don't. They say, well, you know, it's all the same thing. You know, it's boring and blah, 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 get the diploma. But for me, I like the music, right? Da, 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 da. See, that's an older man than me right there in the soul. But anyway, I love it because it gets me excited. And then you're waiting, and you see him. There. Hey, you know, Juliana, hey, Aiden, you know, like, hey, and you're just like, and you're happy as they go in, and then you're even happier as they come out with their diplomas, and it's a great time. The caps, the boards, I think they call board hats or whatever they're called, flat boards, I guess signifying that you're now a scholar of some sort, diplomas, degrees, excitement, happiness, everyone honoring you about finishing something good, and yes, it is good, it's great, it's fantastic. And I believe God creates moments like these tremendous moments, so that we could pause and ask ourselves, what really is this all about? What is this? Is this pointing to something more? So, as I said, nothing compares to that day with the Lord. On that day, the graduation day with the Lord. On that day, Paul says, we who will put our trust in the Lord by faith will put on his graduation garment. It's called a white robe. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, this is what what Jesus actually spoke to the church in Sardis, a church that he said, here's some things that you need to do. Wake up. You've been great in the past. Wake up. It's time to wake up. And then he tells them this, if you conquer or if you overcome, you're going to be clothed like them. Like who? Like all that overcome. All of those that go on in victory. In white robes. And I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and his angels. In other words, he won't come in with a shaving can and the whipped cream and the shaving cream and the razor saying, I'm ready to blot your name out of the graduation book from Primero High School. He says, if you overcome, and he says, what's next? And these ceremonies, they kind of wake us up, right? They kind of wake you up for us going backwards and thinking how God has been with us through this whole thing, but also pointing to that great graduation in the sky. The robes, instead of these nice scholarly graduation robes, he says you have a robe of white, signifying the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been imputed to us, but also that we've given all our heart and soul and mind to live in our life, to strive, hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says. So instead of a nice flat graduation cap, Paul says, I will receive a crown of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus said, yes, it's imputed to me. That way I can stand before God at any time and say, I love you. You are forgiven in my Son. Once I step out of his Son, though, it's a different story. He may blot my name out of that graduation book. But he promises us who come together in communion, who come together in devotion to him, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, I will not ever blot your name out of that book. The Apostle Paul, in his new beginning, he was looking forward to this. And we can see him now saying and understanding what he meant. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to be with my Lord. I don't want to be away from you, Timothy, because of the close relationship and all these other people that we have. But that's just life. We're going to go on to the next phase to be with the Lord. The good fight for Paul was almost finished. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. The race was almost finished for him. Keeping the faith was almost finished for Paul. And when it was finished, I like that that movie. If you've never got a chance to read it, I mean to watch it on DVD or streaming, Paul, Apostle of Jesus Christ. It's a very moving one. Because at the end, you see him right there before he's executed by the Roman Emperor, by the Roman Empire, for preaching Christ, for standing with Christ, for finishing the race, for fighting the good fight, for being faithful to the end. Right when that sword is coming down, you don't see that because it's a Christian movie, so you're not going to see all the gory stuff. But the next thing he sees is he's all of the saints coming toward him. And the ones that he hurt in life, the ones that he persecuted when he was a non-believer in Jesus as a Pharisee. And they're hugging him. They're rejoicing. They're celebrating. This is his time of coming in. And the crown of righteousness, he looks up on the hill and there's the Lord looking down at him. Going like that. Come on up. Give me a hug. And I think that's a moving spot when I was reading this right here. So each reception of honor points to a crown. Today points to a crown of righteousness. And we got to remember that, especially when times are difficult. Number two, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, we have an image of the actual ceremony. Of the actual ceremony of going from this life into the next, and Jesus is in charge of it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Now, this is about the end. This is when Jesus comes back. A lot of the New Testament points to the fact that he's coming back. We even sing the songs, right? Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Many will meet their groom. Or their doom, you know. That's the original lyrics. Many will meet their doom. It's an upbeat song. You know, Jesus is coming soon. Many will meet their doom. And we're singing and we're happy. And some of us said, let's change it to groom. You know, man, Jesus is coming soon. Many will meet their groom. Because that's the way I want to go to the Lord, right? Doom or groom? It's my choice. Some of you guys are smiling. I was wondering about that as a young believer. We'd sing that song. I said, that's not really too encouraging. You know, many will meet their doom. But see, that's just our nature. I think sometimes our brethren, legalistic nature is fear works better than love. It's just the way it is, right? As kids raising up, you just give your kid nothing but love and positive reinforcement. We've done that with our little dog, and that's good. Positive reinforcement is good. But I promise you, for me, I needed a little bit of fear of my grandparents. Yeah. And when I didn't have that or I didn't receive that, I got in trouble every single time. But most of it was love motivation. And that's the same way with Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Paul is correcting them. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Yeah. Now, sometimes we get caught up in these words and it's hard to be encouraged. But he says, encourage each other, comfort each other with these words. So I encourage you with these words this morning. I comfort you with these words this morning. You got to do it back to me. I'm a Christian too. You know what I'm saying? I encourage you too, brother. I comfort you too with these words. Here's the thing, is we get caught up in the details of this and we wonder what it looks like. Oh man, if Cameron, you know, the producer and the maker of the Titanic and all these different films, I can't remember the other one, of E.T., the director of E.T., the maker of E.T. Yeah, if you've got him in there to get the special effects and what it looks like, and we get caught up in that, going up into the clouds and stuff. And I realize the more that I've read this, is it's not so much about the details, because that's what the Christians fight about, right? We fight about the details of these things. And Paul is writing more of a metaphor. He said, it's going to be spectacular. So he gives us a ceremony. Da, 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 da. It's a catchy tune. Whether Edwin likes it or not, it's a catchy tune. It works. Whoever put it together, it works. It has kind of a solemnness in it. It has an encouragement in it, a happiness in it. Well, right here, it says we're going to have not the trumpet of Michael the archangel, but the trumpet of God. Amen. Where God takes out a trumpet, and if God blows a trumpet, look out. Excitement, nothing but excitement. So encourage yourself with these words. This passage is meant to be taken and shared as a message of hope. Because the biggest discouragement for any human being is death, right? Yeah. No one likes to think about that, but we should. Ecclesiastes 7 says you're wise if you consider these things. Why? Because it pushes us one way or the other to choose to look at the world or to choose to look at Jesus Christ, who graduated with honors. He didn't get a 4.9. He got a 5,000 plus million his grade. He was perfect. And he says, do your best. Get your best. You're not going to earn it. I'll always earn it for you. And I'm going to bring you home. It's a message of hope in the face of death. Comfort and encouragement in the face of the, I've never been lower. The feeling of, I've never been lower feeling this way. It's about pageantry and the resurrection and the return of Jesus for us. It's not so much the details. Will he meet him? Because we're going to meet him in the clouds. Will that be like 10,000 feet or 15,000 feet? Will we outside of the atmosphere? You know, we get caught up in all those silly things. And I think Jesus just does a faceplant going, they don't understand metaphor. This is spectacular. I think when Jesus ascended to heaven, I believe heaven is not beyond the atmosphere, beyond the moon, beyond the Andromeda, beyond the Milky Way, beyond the farthest. It's not outside even of the universe, however big that is. It's a different dimension. It's a dimension that's right here and now. Now, yeah, he goes up in the air because that gets you looking up toward where we think God is at. But you know what? God is in that other dimension right in here. We can't see it. We can't feel it. But he's in that dimension. If Jesus decided to, he wanted to, he would just come through, boom, just appear right here, right next to you. He'd appear, he'd sit right next to you and say, how are you doing in me? So just like students are not made in school for all of life, to be in life, you're going to finish school, you're going to finish the fight. Your hard work, your faithfulness, your sacrifice, and completing your race, that's a celebration. We are not made in this life to be in this world forever. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Do the best you can for the Lord. Be in the Lord. Grow in the Lord in this life. But understand, Christ has something that's not just better. It's awesome. It's like, oh my gosh, I wish you'd have taken me sooner. That's going to be our feeling. Right? I don't want to go. I don't want to go because I'm so used to this. But when we go to the Lord right here, we see it.
Lord, I wish you had taken me sooner. I'm glad to be here. Oh, wow, this is incredible.
Well, what about that argument you were having? What about that disagreement you were having, Edwin, about the graduation song? I won't even think about it. I don't even want to think about that. It won't even register. The things that we have in this life that really weigh us down, that are challenging us and pulling us down and taking our eyes off of Jesus Christ, I believe more than anything else, Satan works as hard as he can to get us not to fight the good fight. And I looked this term up. He said, I have fought the good fight. This is warfare. This is a campaign that lasts from day one when we take our first breath, and I believe even beyond when we're conceived in our mother's womb. It's a fight for life, and Satan is fighting as well. It's a campaign to the very end to fight against him. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against all the spiritual forces of darkness. And those forces saturate and permeate all of society, every institution, every government, everything that we have in this world, Satan has control over and influence. So Paul says, I fought the good fight. I know the word. I know the truth. At one time I was the enemy of the truth. Now I am a purveyor of the truth. I'm a preacher of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I have fought the good fight to the very end. And now is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. That word, fight the good fight, is a warfare fight. I looked it up in classical Greek and some of the stories. There was a story of a father in Greece. Because back in those times, you had to be part of the soldiery. You had to be a fighter in the army before you could ever be elected to office or even work in society. You had to serve in the army at least a little bit. And at least 10 years if you were going to run for political office. You had to serve and you had to fight. And then one of the sons, well, if you wanted to go on in life, and he's writing to his son saying, you're shaming me by not fighting the good fight. That's where that term comes from. Fight the good fight. What? To make Greece awesome. To make Rome awesome. No. Fight the good fight to show everybody in the world, Paul says, that Jesus has always been awesome. So in this scripture, we see that Paul fought his good fight. He ran his race and he kept the faith. We also, as we partake in communion, it reflects that we're fighting the good fight. Amen? It reflects that we are running the race with perseverance, the race that Satan is throwing every obstacle for us not to run with perseverance. And we're keeping the faith, no matter how difficult it is. Let's read a scripture together as I bring this to an end and transition over into... there you go, Edwin. Graduation song, Edwin. I think you guys can hand those out. I think we have about 40, so you might have to share with somebody. I'm always going to tease Edwin on that one. I'm going to whistle that song when I'm around. We'll close out reading Revelation 22. And then praying together this prayer right here, typed out as we go in toward communion. Everybody have one? I think Ivan has a few more if you need one.
He forgot his own.
Oh,
I just think about it.
That's cool. So let's read this verse from the last book of the Bible and a promise of our Lord Jesus Christ who beckons us, who says, come on, your graduation will come and I'll be waiting for you. In fact, I'm going to come and get you. Revelation 22:12-13. See, let's read this together. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay everybody according to everyone's work. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. And let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord of love, there is so much happening in my life at this time.
Changes seem to be taking place in every area of my life. Family, friends, and neighbors have moved far away. My loved ones have passed on. Tensions in this world seems to be surrounding me on every side. But on all of this, my hope and trust is in you. As I step out into the future, in the face of all the changes and challenges in the world at this time, I pray that you will continue to be with me, to lead and guide me, to protect, to comfort and support. Lord Jesus, I cling to you, for you are the rock of my salvation and my defense and defender. Thank you, Lord, that in this world of uncertainty and change, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that you promised to be with me as I am with you in all the changing scenes and situations of my life. And thank you for promising to come back again, to take all of us who trust in your name to be with you forever. I cling to you, Lord, for my hope and my future is in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's partake of communion together. Grab the elements. Well, first, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.